Welcome to Classy Ring Attire. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to class up wrestling.
Let's do it.
This week, we are going to talk about No Way Out, since that happened pretty recently.
Not too long ago.
General overall feel, how you feel about No Way Out?
Actually, I could probably pretty much sum up how I feel about both No Way Out and Raw with the same statement. Started off with a big momentum and, big spark or whatever, and then fizzled.
You didn't like the end?
No, not really. Because, I could have told you that's how it was going to end, and it was just... Then we got it again on Monday night. It was just meh.
Well, literally at this point, Monday night right now is just waiting for the big deal summer thing to happen.
Yeah, which, it might end up being we're waiting until the 1000th episode.
I can believe that, and I can see the logic in waiting until then. So I can't really fault them for that, but yeah, I'm not invested in anything other than that right now. Okay, no, I'm invested in AJ.
I was about to say, you, sir, are speaking incorrectly.
Let me rephrase that. I'm totally invested in everything about that storyline.
Good boy.
Other than that, I'm waiting for whatever fancy, important twist.
Yep, we are in the, I don't know how to say it. We are in the long haul for the pocket of suck. This is the part where it's like, you think about everything that's going on, and you can only really think about one, maybe two things that are going on right now that people actually give a crap about.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know.
Well,
it's not like one big thing though. Like right now, the whole AJ thing is just, we don't know what's going on really.
Right.
It's just a scramble of different stuff.
I mean, the thing we're waiting for really is for something to go terribly wrong.
One big explosion.
Some storyline where something goes in. And we just had a pay-per-view of all faces winning. I think 100%. I mean, depending on how you care about Ryback or the primetime players, like those are the surprise thrown in matches if you want to count them as faces or heels. But other than that, it was good guys winning across the board.
Like in all the big matches, yeah.
All the belts, and yeah, everything that was announced before the show ended with face winning.
And depending on how you feel about Sheamus.
Well, but
that dude got more booze than he ever did as a heel.
Well, I think Ziggles is starting to get some heat on, like, some positive responses.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dear Lord.
So, this is jumping into Raw, but we had a Ziggles versus Swagger match on Raw this week, which... comes to mind as the only heel versus heel match that I can remember.
For a while, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure one has happened in the 1000 episodes, but...
Yeah, this is the only one in recent memory, definitely.
Yeah.
Ziggles just has all this momentum on his side right now.
And I'm wondering if part of that was to get Vicky back specifically with Dolph to keep the heel heat on him. If he's, getting more positive reactions than they want.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want that to extinguish any kind of heat that he's got, I wouldn't want that to break any kind of momentum that he's picked up from now,
Oh, no, I agree. I'm actually a little concerned because...
Exactly, yeah.
Because we have, Ziggles does not need Vicky anymore. He is getting reactions on his own.
Yeah.
We do not need to revert back to them being boyfriend, girlfriend.
2 years
and,
ago, yeah.
Yeah, and them just hanging out together without additional stuff anywhere else. And so,
holy crap, they have been associated together 2 years, haven't they?
Has it been 2 years? Are you serious? Yeah. Yeah, because he was fighting Edge.
Two Royal Rumbles ago.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. Man.
That is way... Oh, wow. Yeah, that is really long.
I mean, to be fair, when it started out, I did not care about Dolph. He was, like...
Kind of indifferent about him, yeah.
C, D card.
He really hadn't shown anything at that point.
No, I was indifferent. And so, but now, I'm ready for him to have, like, a serious title run. So... He is right now my number one pick for one of the Money in the Banks. Come July. So
yeah, that is coming up, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm starting to eyeball people. I'm ready to go ahead and let them jump the
Yeah.
So, and right now for me, right now it's Ziggles and Cody. So.
Yeah. I don't know if they would have two. Heels win both suitcases, though.
Yeah.
Cases, whatever.
I don't know either, but... I mean, these are my preferred picks, not really my predictions.
Of course.
Because,
yeah.
You know...
We'll handle that in a month.
Yeah, Cody is still... You know, they're still having him go after the Intercontinental. So...
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what their plan is, but... Anyway, let's break down... No Way Out.
All right.
Starting with the opening match of Sheamus and Dolph, which was just a really good match.
Well, it was a good match because of Dolph Ziggler. Like, I'm not really willing to give much credit to Sheamus right now for that match. Like, it just seemed like it was all Ziggles. Like, even when he was, you know, on the defensive side of things, he still looked more impressive than Sheamus.
Yeah.
Know? And I think that's why, that was a reason for a lot of the heat that Sheamus got. Especially when he won, people weren't happy because it just seemed like the entire match was all in Ziggler's favors. Like, granted, you know, the audience from the last two shows have been pretty fantastic. So to
yeah.
Speak. It just seemed like Dolph Ziggler did all the work in this one. And it was a great match because of him.
I mean, I might be more forgiving of Sheamus than you are, but I will agree, like, right now, Dolph can have an amazing match with anybody. The same way Punk can have an amazing match with anybody, I think Ziggles can also have just, you know, a fantastic match against whoever. So, I wanted him to win, so even though it would put him on SmackDown.
Yeah, it would.
Oh, next up was the tuxedo match.
Can we not talk about this?
I need to mention that there was a "This is boring" chant.
Yeah.
Going on during that.
Rightfully so.
I was so proud of that audience.
Oh, that was so terrible.
Yeah,
I don't have anything constructive to say about that. It was just... That's literally the noise that I made during this match. Just, why is this happening?
I mean, it was the fly in an otherwise pretty fantastic ointment of the first whole half of this pay-per-view.
Definitely.
Because next up is Christian and Cody Rhodes. That was just a straight-up...
I like this match so much more than Ziggler and Sheamus because both guys just brought it, you know? It was a fantastic match.
If they start having matches like this for the Intercontinental Championship, I'll start caring about that belt again.
Yeah, like, you know, we've talked at ad nauseum about how much we want Cody Rhodes to move on, but from seeing that, I wouldn't mind to see him and Christian do a program for a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Especially because, like, SummerSlam, when we get to SummerSlam, they always show, like, the greatest moments, and it's always these incredible matches over the Intercontinental Championship, and right. It's always kind of sad to see how much people like Bret Hart went through in those matches for it to be, like, such an unimportant belt now.
Right.
So, like, if these guys... And that's all it takes, is just these two guys... really caring about this belt, and it can get me to start to care too. So,
yeah,
I am all about those guys, those two having a little extended run for the summer over the Intercontinental. Next, we had a surprise Fatal 4-Way Tag Team match to determine the number one contenders for the championship.
Tag team belt, yep.
Is Kofi going to have to defend that by himself?
It seems like they're kind of dragging that out a little bit. Maybe they're waiting to see how long exactly it takes for R-Truth to heal from a broken foot. I mean, head injury.
Yep. Because Big Show made a sneak attack. I hate that. I hate whenever Big Show makes a sneak attack. Because, like, I'm sorry, did you not see him coming from 500 feet away?
How big of a fake rock must there be for him to hide behind?
Can't you just hear him lumber towards you? You that invested in your interview? But anyway, well, the thing is, like, part of the setup to this match was that Primo and Epico's
promoter,
like, well, their number one or their rematch clause had expired,
right?
In after 30 days, which I didn't know that was a thing.
The rematch clause, yeah.
The rematch clause thing.
It had an expiration date.
I don't think I've ever seen it come into fruition with it being an expiration date.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a carton of milk.
All right. I mean, I've seen them kind of like.
I mean, they
drop.
Don't always adhere to it, but you know.
Yeah, I've seen them.
Usually those rematches are used up within like the next week.
Right.
So it's very rarely we ran into that situation.
Well, you remember there was once if you successfully defended the championship, you didn't have to defend it for the next 30 days. That used to be a thing, because
I think it's you have to defend it every 30 days, or at least once in 30 days.
Well, let me take you back to Sheamus, when Sheamus got to pick his own number one contender, and he picked Zack Ryder way back before Zack Ryder was a thing.
Yeah.
So it would be an easy win, so he wouldn't have to defend it for 30 days.
Yeah, I vaguely remember it, yeah.
Yeah, like, that's... And so every now and then, Zack Ryder will introduce himself as former number one contender because of that one little thing. But anyway, this was a pretty good match, too. I mean,
it wasn't bad. I think I really thought Tyson Kidd was amazing. But I mean, that's
Tyson Kidd. Tyson Kidd needs to be on my television. I need to stop having to go to the internet to see him.
Very true.
So, I mean, it was kind of exciting to like see the whole NXT locker room all of a sudden on my pay-per-view. So,
well, what it was? Oh, well, I mean, who all was from NXT that was in that match? It was just Justin Gabriel, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, Tyson Kidd still shows up on NXT a lot.
Oh, you mean? Oh, okay, all right.
And
I was only thinking Nexus. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
No, NXT the show. Yeah, primetime players are all from NXT.
Yeah, true.
So
them and their billions of dollars. That is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I'm sorry, I cannot take what's his name? The dude with the afro.
Darren Young.
I cannot take that dude seriously as long as he looks exactly like John Cena. A very bronzed John Cena.
I don't know. I'm entertained enough by them. I mean
don't get me wrong. I do love Titus O'Neil. That dude is pretty awesome.
Well, this match also got a "This is awesome" chant, like kind of.
Well, it got it when Tyson Kidd did the spot where he I can't remember who he dropped, but he dropped one guy onto like everyone else on the apron.
Right, yeah. So that spot got it.
Yeah.
Next up is Layla and Beth Phoenix for Divas Championship. And it might be because I just saw three fantastic matches and I'm being overly generous, but I really enjoyed that match too.
I didn't really feel anything towards the match. It was just like, yeah, okay, this is happening. But then again, okay, everyone needs to realize that I watched this entire pay-per-view after I got out of a 12-hour shift. So I started it at, like, 11:30. So it was, like, close to 3 o'clock by the time I was finished with it. So progressively through the night, I was getting grumpier and grumpier just because I got, you know, tired. So at this point, I was starting to get grumpy with this match. I don't know why. I don't understand. I mean, now that I think back of it, there really wasn't that big thing, like, that stuck out that ruined it for me. But, you know.
Whatever. No, I mean, it's one I thought was fine. And yeah, part of it might be that I was pretty much digging on the whole show at this point. And so everything that comes out, I'm like, why not? Yeah, let's enjoy that. Because next up was Sin Cara and, what's his name, Unico.
Boo. And
I hated them, boo, but I was okay with it.
See, here's the thing. I'm actually, you know what? I thought Unico looked good.
Yeah?
I thought Unico looked good. Sin Cara looks like just garbage right now to me.
I don't know. I absolutely don't care. And as long as he can't talk, doesn't talk, there's no way to get him in a storyline where I care.
I would much rather see Unico get a push at this point, if given the choice between the two.
I mean, the problem with Sin Cara is his entire moveset all has the same problem the 619 does, where it looks really cool the first time, and then every time after that you're like, that move is used way too much. There's no way that that exact set of circumstances would fall into place multiple times in a match.
No, not at all.
So, the same reason I have trouble buying 619 as a legit move, I have, like, Sin Cara as an entire character I have a problem with.
Right.
So, I need to see something more from him for as much as they're pushing him. Next, the match. CM Punk taking on Kane and Daniel Bryan.
And this was a very good match. I thought the three wrestlers all, like, accentuated each other very well. Like, we all knew that, you know, from last pay-per-view and from previous matches that Daniel Bryan and CM Punk are amazing together. Throwing Kane, I was a little concerned. Like, I wasn't sure exactly how he would fit into the dynamic. But
yep,
it all seemed pretty well. Like, you had these two guys who are very technical and very, you know, very precision-based kind of tactics. Whereas, you know, you have Kane, who's just a brute. And I thought those things balanced each other out very well. Kane, I don't know if it was because of Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, but Kane looked really good in this match.
Yeah, this match, like, I know it was good, but it really suffered from, like, Nexus Syndrome, where, like, I knew that...
You knew something was coming in.
Yeah, I knew something had to happen before there was any chance of it ending. I knew AJ had to run to the ring, so I was kind of just waiting for that the whole time. So yeah, the same way.
You're very right. Like, you always had that in the back of your head during the entire match, basically, because, you were expecting AJ to come out and do something and be adorable.
But let me tell you that the way they used AJ here is, like, near fringe brilliance.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so she jumps up on the ring, Kane accidentally knocks her down, and she, you know, for the second time, is run over by a giant and flounders on the ground, and the giant feels really bad.
And loses the match.
Yes. And so Kane is, like, taking her away, feeling bad, and she, like, wakes up and gives CM Punk this look.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this is such subtle and impressive storytelling that I would never, ever, ever expect from the WWE.
No, I would not expect this at all from them.
I was so impressed. And it's a thing where, you know, this is a great storyline that I would have expected them to rush because, you know, there's a pay-per-view and they have to do something big on pay-per-view. But it really feels like they're letting it breathe and grow. And it's, you know, and so it's something I'm still interested in and get to be interested in for multiple months.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, they're taking their time and stuff's interesting, which is a rare commodity.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot Ryback comes in next. I was about to go on to the John Cena, but yeah, we do have Ryback. Exact same Ryback, waste of time.
Pretty much. And
I mean,
we didn't have a guy named Stan Stansky, so I'm uninterested.
Yeah, I'm completely done with Ryback until he actually does something. Once he does, I'll be reinterested because they've set him up in an interesting way. I mean, Goldberg, but in an interesting way. So.
Yeah, but they've been doing this for, what, 3 months?
Yeah.
And nothing's happened?
Nothing. If they don't have anything for the character, which it really looks like they don't, then I would take him away until they do. Because that's what they did for Brodus. They were teasing him because it was time, but they didn't have anything for Brodus, and so holding him off until they did really paid off well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm fully bought into Funkasaurus now.
As
which brings us to the next match, John Cena and Big Show in a steel cage.
Yeah, I really just... And again, I don't know if it was because it was 3 in the morning and I was grumpy, but I really just didn't care at this point.
Okay, the actual technical in-the-ring stuff was a waste of time and terrible.
Yes.
But once, like, the eventual interferences that we knew were going to happen started happening, seeing Brodus run down to the ring was interesting. And so there was this whole little section there where I wasn't, you know, it wasn't a thing where I didn't know it was going to happen and was excited, but I didn't know how it was going to happen. And I was interested enough to know, you know, oh, who's going to come down to the ring? Who's going to do what, where, or when to come to the conclusion that we all pretty much knew was going to happen.
Right.
So, well, yeah, it's not the way to end your show. You know, this is not the match to end it on. But it's an interesting way to further the story.
Yeah, and it's just like the Over the Limit pay-per-view, the ending of that and the ending of this. It's a good ending for a Monday Night Raw, I suppose, but not for a pay-per-view. It just didn't work for me.
Yeah, I mean, there's serious flaws. And part of it is, someone pointed this out to me yesterday on Twitter, that, you know, since the Elimination Chamber, so since February, every single pay-per-view has had John Cena fighting a different guy in the main event, which has been pushing the WWE Championship earlier in the night.
So the Elimination Chamber was the WWE Championship was first.
Yep. So that is what that's four. Was Cena and Kane at the end of that show? Because I can't remember.
Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
So what is that? 5 pay-per-views where John Cena has main evented without being without having a title.
Basically. And before that, you know, it was just Royal Rumble, and before that it was TLC, which John Cena wasn't even on.
Which was an amazing pay per view.
Yep.
And so,
it was my favorite.
So I'm just gonna leave that there. Let you make of it as you will.
The thing is,
during Lesnar, John's, like, the Cena sucks chants were brought way back down.
Right.
You know, after losing to The Rock, the Cena sucks chants dropped a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they're starting to build back up now.
Because we're getting the same old hokey Cena crap.
Right, because they had him lose cleanly for the first time in a long time, and it was something new, something interesting.
Yeah.
And now we are getting Super Cena's can-do attitude trumps all.
basically. So. Yeah, and we're getting the exact same stuff that we got before The Rock.
Right.
But, you know, we digress. Let's see. And basically, John Cena ends up winning, and Laurinaitis loses his job, gets fired by Vince McMahon. So we got to hear those words. And then John does an AA to put Laurinaitis through the Spanish announce table.
The most delicately handled AA I've ever seen into what has to be the most fragile, delicate Spanish announce table they've ever constructed.
But yes, the most important thing about that, though, is that I predicted it correctly. So take that, Nate93. I predicted correctly, and I am all-powerful.
We also have to mention, I guess.
You guess.
Triple H challenged Brock Lesnar to SummerSlam.
Okay, we have to. Okay, we have to address that only because we got Paul Heyman on Monday night.
Oh, Paul Heyman.
That was a fantastic segment.
I think I said to you before, before Sunday night, and maybe I might have even said on the last podcast. I don't remember, but I said the worst way they can do this is simply have Triple H come out and lay out, let's not have lawyers involved, let's just fight about it. Because that is like the bare bones, laziest way to get this storyline, to get them to fight at SummerSlam.
Right, and then, you know, thank God we had Paul Heyman coming on Monday night and be like, no, we want the lawyers.
I'm so relieved they brought in Paul Heyman on Monday, because I was so upset on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, me too.
So, because this is going to be a lot of Paul Heyman talking, right? That's what they have to do now.
It has to be true.
Because...
that would be... oh, that's fantastic. I'm more excited about him than I am about Brock.
I absolutely am. I saw Brock, and I'm kind of good for right now, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I can do without Brock for a while.
Like, I was really excited to have him back. I was really excited to see him in Extreme Rules, and I'm kind of filled. I just, you know, I'll be okay with him coming back. I'm not against him coming back for SummerSlam, but...
but use him like Chris Jericho and just have him lose everything.
Well, that's the thing. Is like, he has to lose this one, right? And then he's going to go away, and he's going to come back for WrestleMania, we know. But he's, I mean, you know...
if he challenges anyone like The Rock has the ammunition to just be like, I'm not going to face you. You just lost two straight matches, dude. Get him back to the line.
Well, he only has a... you know, he only has that year contract, so we are expecting, especially if he's maintaining a heel character, we're expecting him to lose at WrestleMania. So is he going to come back to the WWE and lose every single match?
I don't know. Like, I, to be honest with you, I really don't see Triple H winning against him.
Really?
I don't see it happening. I think they're going to put Brock over with it.
Okay. Yep. All right, I'm assuming that Triple H is gonna win, because
I mean, you can think that, you know, you'll be wrong, but you can think it.
We'll see. Well, because of Lesnar's limited dates. Okay, here's I can see Heyman adding in stipulations that will allow them to storyline have Triple H lose and still not have Brock on every week. Okay. Because I'm kind of expecting Brock to, you know, throw a little pouty fit and leave for a month or so every time he loses, so that they don't use up all their Brock Lesnar appearances at once.
Fair enough.
On to Monday night and the fallout. Yep. Oh, let's do the good first. Mick Foley was on TV.
It was good to see him. It was good. It was a good opening segment. And he was in a suit, no less.
I will watch Mick Foley do anything. Mick Foley made a tag match that if Teddy Long had made it, I would have hated. But because Mick Foley did it, I was like, brilliant!
It was the best idea ever.
That's exactly what I want to see. Always.
The same exact tag team match that we saw on SmackDown. Not even a week ago.
What a great idea, Mick Foley.
Where did you get that idea?
Sucks. Oh man, I am way too over on Mick Foley.
Obviously.
No, I've been reading his second biography, the Foley is good. Mm-hmm. And so he talks about hanging, like, him and Vader and Edge and Prince Albert hanging out. And I was like, oh, which one of those guys still constantly appears in a WWE ring? I'm sad.
Yeah, pretty much.
It bummed me out for a little bit. It seriously did. Yeah, but honestly, other than... Okay, so Mick Foley was good. AJ coming out in some sort of Kane-Harley Quinn hybrid costume
was pretty awesome.
I
just wanted to give WWE every single penny that I have. Just be like, just make this happen every week, please. Here's my money. Take it. Yep.
So... But that happened. That was like the first half hour, and the rest of the show
was just downhill.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay.
I was pretty much just done with it after that. Like, what else is there?
it's waiting for 11, pretty much.
Waiting for 11, seeing what happened, and what we got was basically the same exact thing that we saw the previous night.
Yes, yeah, it is. I will say, Cyndi Lauper was a lot better than I thought she would be.
That segment was good, and it was one of those things because I was completely expecting a train wreck. It ended up being like a really cool, kind of touching moment, and then you realize that it was all just the setup to bash Heath Slater in the head and with the gold record.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, you goaded me in, and now I feel like an idiot for paying any kind of attention to this.
For feeling.
Yeah. And God, I can't remember the other girl's name.
Oh, Wendy?
Yeah, Wendy Richter?
Yeah.
Yeah, Wendy Richter, I don't know what it was. It just seemed like she just wasn't there. I really thought the two of them were just completely blitzed out of their mind.
Cyndi Lauper has always looked like that.
Yeah, maybe it's just because I'm not really big on Cyndi Lauper, so... I really didn't know what to expect, but seeing Hot Rod was cool. I really dug his t-shirt.
Seeing Hot Rod is always cool.
Oh yeah. And again, so. I was really hoping for another Feel the Energy moment, and I was disappointed yet again for the second time.
Well, I mean, I'm going to be interested in these next couple of weeks to see who they're bringing back.
Yeah.
And how it works out each time. So Here's my question to you. In the next X amount of time until the 1,000th episode, and then I guess also the 1,000th episode, who are you guessing is coming back, / who would you actually like to see come back and have one of those little nostalgia moments? I mean, they said on one of the commercials that DX will be there.
Right, so that takes care of my hopes to see Shawn Michaels, because you know me, I'm always happy to see him on my television.
Right.
Which is odd because I've never actually watched his hunting show. but it's hunting, so it really doesn't count.
Not that excited to see him on my television.
Oh yeah. Let's see. Who I'm hoping to see is Chris Masters, obviously.
Well, don't hold your breath.
I will hold my breath if I wanted to, sir.
Chris Masters is apparently pretty close to getting to be on TNA.
It's a ruse. It's all a ruse. Yep.
It's part of the extended Ric Flair, Christian, Switcheroony, everything they're doing.
Yep. Oh, yeah, definitely part of that. Yep. Like, oh, yeah, we're going to let Chris Masters do a dark match for you guys, but we get him right back. Yep. And then he's going to be the biggest thing in the world. And he'll get a heavyweight championship match against Sheamus and beat him. And him and Punk will be champions, and everything will be right in the world. World hunger will cease to exist. All the terrorists are just going to drop dead for, you know, just random causes, I suppose. And, you know, everything will be good. Yep.
Yeah, you wait till Thursday.
Wait till Thursday?
When he appears on TNA.
Oh, whatever. It's not going to happen. I mean, I'm sure we'll get the usual, like, I'm sure we'll get, you know, Sergeant Slaughter and, I'm pretty sure we'll see. My mind's going blank right now.
I think Dusty will probably make an appearance.
Yeah, Dusty will probably make an appearance. Superfly Snuka will probably be there. Tony Atlas, probably.
Yeah.
You know, though the guys that, you know, we've seen quite a bit, Ted DiBiase and those fellas.
Yeah.
The saddest wrestler alive, Virgil.
Oh, poor Virgil.
Poor Virgil.
I would really like to see Undertaker there at some point, since he's, like, the only one from episode one.
Yeah, that's still technically on the roster.
Right. I will be shocked if The Rock does not make an appearance somewhere in here.
I would be too. Like, even if he just does it via satellite thing.
Yeah.
He's going to have his own little segment on this. I think we'll obviously see Stone Cold. You know who I would really like to see? I would love to see Goldust.
Okay, I would love to see Goldust too.
But... I don't know exactly how likely that is nowadays, but
yeah,
I would love to see him. I would even love to see Finley for, like, you know, just
to say hi.
Just say hi. Be like, oh, hey, you're the guy that got fired for, you know, having Miz interrupt the national anthem. Good one.
You crazy Irishman. Let me think. I wouldn't be surprised to see Bret Hart show up.
Of course, yeah.
Especially, I don't know if they're going to be in Canada anytime between now and then. But that's a guarantee.
Although, okay, one thing that Mick Foley said that kind of got me excited, he said that they were, you know, they were looking into some of the former hosts, or the former GMs.
Former GMs, yeah.
That kind of got me excited. Like, maybe William Regal will be a GM for an episode.
I will flip if William Regal gets to be a GM.
Maybe Mike Adamley will be a GM for an episode. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I was running through, like, oh, who are GMs? I was like,
Bret Hart was technically a GM for a little bit.
He was GM for a little bit.
The computer.
I would be so excited if that stupid computer came back for one episode. That would crack me. The best thing that could happen in WWE right now is for the computer to come back and Edge to make a surprise return. That he's, like, gone on walkabout these past years to find the identity of the anonymous GM, and they close the storyline somewhere.
That would, like, be perfect.
That's literally the best thing that could happen.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm trying to think who the GM was before Bret Hart. It wasn't still really William Regal, was it?
No, it was
William Regal, then Mike Adamley.
Well, okay, right before Bret Hart, okay, it was the celebrities.
Right, yeah, they did a year of that.
And then, Vicky for one night.
Okay.
Do you remember Vicky was...
Yeah.
And then quit because Randy Orton was showing his rape face to her?
Yeah.
And then
it had to be Mike Adamley, wasn't it?
Going further back before the... I don't remember order.
I believe it was.
I believe you. I don't have the wherewithal to challenge that. Well, Stephanie? Question mark?
Oh, well, yeah, I'm pretty sure her and Shane were at some point. Jonathan Coachman.
Honestly, because I
don't know if he was a GM, but I knew he was, like, he might have been a GM.
I don't know. See, the thing is, like, I wasn't watching enough around then to be sure, and I'm not 100% sure, yeah, if, like, Stephanie was ever Raw, because I know Stephanie was SmackDown.
Yeah. We're dipping. We're dipping into the era where, you know, it was kind of my dark period where I just didn't really watch.
Right.
So, I don't know.
No, so those. I mean, we'll find out over the next couple of weeks, or they could just have Mick Foley every week, and I'd be fine with that.
It could do that.
Let me make sure that's very clear. Although I've said before, I would really like to see Mick. Okay, I'm torn because I would really like to see Mick Foley have, like, one more really good thing, really good run, and put over a new heel. But at the same time, I it's like I almost need to have Mick Foley, like his, if he gets an opportunity to have a real final match, it feels like it needs to be a hardcore match. And I don't know if he's up for it. I don't know if WWE really wants to do a hardcore match right now.
I don't think they would.
So I would, you know, I would almost rather just let his career be as is, or his in-ring career be as is, and not have him kind of limp out on...
I would be okay with that, yeah.
Something less than impressive. Although, the Falls Count Anywhere DVD that came out a little while back, they had Mick Foley introducing his, like, Cactus Jack debut. That was one of the matches on the DVD. And so when he was introducing that, like, he reverted back into Mankind and Dude Love for a second. And he was talking about him, like, he went back into character. And it was really exciting to see. So, I it would be cool to, like, see those characters again in some way, shape, or form. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, I had no idea.
I mean, it couldn't be any kind of serious storyline, just for nostalgia purposes, as we're approaching 1,000.
Right.
To get to see him do those characters or bring up the mask or something again. That would be cool.
Yeah, maybe. I'd be okay with it.
Yeah. Do you have any moments that you cared enough about to, that, you know, because they're doing those my favorite moment of 1,000 episodes?
I don't know. Let me think on that one for a sec.
All right. I'm trying to, like, keep it straight to Raw, because, like, a lot of the ones that are, you know, are really big deals are pay-per-view events or WrestleMania events. It might be too new for people to care enough about it, but, like, the Nexus, like, the original Nexus coming out, or when they're still just NXT rookies,
right. That
very first time is, like, really memorable.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially because, like, I was very close to dropping wrestling again at that point in time.
Really?
That was just such a bad episode, and it was coming off of, like, a string of bad episodes and bad pay-per-views.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was the summer.
And plus, not to mention, that was when we were in college, and, you know, I was back home for the summer, not watching it with people anymore.
Right.
Which is, you know, which makes...
Yeah, and you had just gotten back into it, and at that point, you'd only watched it with us.
Right, I'd only been watching it for 5 or 6 months at that point, and so it was real. I was really close to dropping.
Yeah.
Mick Foley's first championship?
Yeah, that was huge.
But honestly, like, even though big deal Mick Foley, I'm going all about Mick Foley this episode.
Yeah.
And even though it was really cool to see his first thing, when Stone Cold comes out to help him, that pop was bigger than any pop I've ever heard before or since.
Oh, yeah. No,
like, it's still, like, to watch it on YouTube, it still floors me just how, like, big that was. So I would stick that in there. I'm trying to think. Oh, I guess the only other, like, really memorable moment for me would be, I remember, like, the first wrestling match I ever saw, and I can't even swear that this was an episode of Raw. It might have been so long ago. If it was, it was, like, it had to have been 93 or 94.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember I was, the neighbors were babysitting me, and they were watching wrestling. And I just remember being 1,000,000% invested. I had no concept of, you know, fixed matches or anything at the time. And so I remember being so excited and into that match and thinking that, you know, whatever guy A was done for because guy B was beating him so thoroughly, right. The way that every match goes, and then guy A turns it around and wins. And so I thought at the time I was watching, like, the comeback of the century. And so that's, you know, that's something where I have no idea what match that was. That was not memorable for anybody but me, and just me because it was my first memory of it, but that would have been, that's probably one of the memories that really sticks out for me.
Yeah, those are pretty good. I don't know, I'm still, it's a lot to consider. I don't know, I knew, like, as a kid, like, I really liked Shawn Michaels' run with, when he had, Jose Lothario as his trainer. But the best moment, oh, man.
Now it's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, well, this week they did Stone Cold hitting Vince with a bedpan.
Yeah.
Which I really like. Yeah. I really like how Jerry, like, really emphasized that, like, you know, it made this noise because he really got hit. And, you know, this is the week after Big Show whiffed him. So it was like, let's remind everybody about that time that I totally did take that bedpan to the head.
Vince can take a shot to the head.
Yeah.
The trial of Eric Bischoff. Because they went all out for that junk. Like, it was completely campy, and it was completely corny, but dear Lord, they committed to that week. And that whole era, like, that whole, like, span of 2 or 3 years, like, you know, with the Spirit Squad and all that, like, dear Lord, they committed to everything. And it was just, it was terrible. Probably because it was on TNN or Spike, but that just seems to be the way things go on that channel. Yes, that was a TNA dig.
Yes. I got it. Loud and clear.
Oh. Other than that, there's the Bob Barker episode.
There's... Okay, but I would expect them to mention Bob Barker. Like, I think they're going to mention that one. I think they're going to mention This Is Your Life.
The Rock one, the original one.
Yes, yes.
It happened right here in Greensboro.
It did.
Let's see. There was a time where Jeremy Piven said Summerfest. That was very memorable.
Jeremy Piven.
Jeremy Piven. All the episodes where Vince McMahon died, including the stage collapsing, including his limo blowing up.
Yep.
All the stage deaths.
Nexus took him out for a while.
Getting whiffed on by Big Show.
Oh, man. I'm glad he recovered from that.
I am so glad he recovered from that. If he missed No Way Out because of that, oh, that would have been so embarrassing. Be like, oh, I know. Yeah, big gust of wind took you out for that pay-per-view, didn't? Yeah.
I know. I could have not been surprised if they had been like, that punch was to keep Vince away from No Way Out to further that storyline. So, I don't know. I am glad that was not the storyline that they went with.
Nor if it was, the writers was just like, nope, we can't go along with this anymore. Gotta pull the,
I actually would like that better. If somebody had stood up in the back and was like, no, we cannot pretend that didn't happen. Anyway.
I guess those are my big ones. All of the big mess-ups and goofs and stuff. That's pretty much what Raw is. Like, it's just, yeah.
Fair enough. Anyway, that's it for me this week.
That's it for me as well.
I'm pretty fulfilled. We'll be back here next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at CR Attire. Shoot us an email with your questions or thoughts or comments or hate mail, you know, whatever.
At classyringattire@gmail.com.
classyringattire@gmail.com.
You can also follow around on our Tumblr, which is classyringattire.tumblr.com. For all the old podcast episodes plus other wrestling shenanigans. So, until next time, stay classy and huzzah.